What is there about Jesus that is intriguing? Or is there anything at all that causes him to be so described? Is there anything about Jesus that attracts our attention or moves us to look more closely at him or consider him more carefully? Is it possible to ponder Jesus, really contemplate him, and yet remain indifferent? When Jesus comes into the picture, does everything remain the same? Those are some of the questions I will address in this message. Jesus, his name is wonderful. My text is taken from Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm particularly focusing on the term Wonderful. The King James Bible, New King James, American Standard, Darby's Translation, Douay Version, English Revised Version, Geneva Bible, and Young's Literal Version, as well as older versions, use separate words, Wonderful and Counselor, dividing them with a comma. This makes them two distinct descriptions, Wonderful, Counselor. Modern versions like the American Standard Version, NIV, and New Revised Standard combine the words, reading Wonderful Counselor. In this case, Wonderful is an adjective describing what kind of counselor Jesus is. The older reading uses the word Wonderful as descriptive of Jesus himself and not merely an aspect of his ministry. The NIV provides a footnote that says that is a valid alternative reading. That is a comma between Wonderful and Counselor. Further, linguists have affirmed that the Hebrew language does not prohibit considering Wonderful and Counselor as two separate considerations rather than a single representation. Therefore, I continue with the supposition the word Wonderful stands as a single attribute or trait of the Savior himself. Note that the prophet declares that Jesus' name will be comprised of several appellations, five in all. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. As used in this text, the word name refers to the person of Christ, who he really is. This does not refer to what he's called, but to who he is. It describes his nature. You may recall that when God declared his name to Moses, he affirmed who he really was. Here's what is written in Exodus 34:5-7. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. In that text, the Lord's name is really who he is. That is the same case in our text. The name of the Savior affirms who he really is, not what he ought to be, but who he is. Not what we make him, but who he actually is. Now I'm drawing your attention to the first described attribute of Jesus, wonderful. Precisely what does that word mean? When the scriptures say that Jesus is wonderful, what are they saying? First, in the Hebrew, the word translated wonderful is what is called a common noun, not an adjective. A common noun refers to a class of beings or things. In this case, Jesus embodies the very concept of wonderful. You might refer to him as a living definition of the word wonderful. It is not that he has a trait of being wonderful, but is rather himself the incarnation of wonderful. That is, from the standpoint of language, the word wonderful means astonishing, extraordinary, and marvelous. In the English language, it includes the idea of exciting, admirable, and unusually good. The Oxford Dictionary says it means extremely good, pleasant, and remarkable. Now, in his essence, that is really what Jesus is. Astonishing, extraordinary, marvelous, exciting, admirable, unusually good, extremely good, pleasant, and remarkable. His name is Wonderful. He captures the attention. He brings great satisfaction. He causes astonishment and wonder in those who behold him. His name is Wonderful. When he's seen correctly, he's admired, esteemed, revered, and worshipped. His name is Wonderful. Those who perceive him, admire him, and look up to him. They find him pleasant and satisfying to consider. His name is Wonderful. They revere him, fear him, and venerate him. His name is Wonderful. Now let me ask you, is this the impression that the average Christian has left on those around him? If you are a professing Christian, have those beholding you considered that you esteem Jesus, revere him, fear him, and worship and serve him? Have they? Have they been convinced that you look up to him, admire him, and find him pleasant or dissatisfied with him? Is that the impression you're leaving? Well, let's not speculate about what men think about you as a professing Christian. Let's get straight to the matter of what you actually do think about Jesus. Are you satisfied with him? Are you living for him? Do you fear him to such an extent that you're afraid to displease him, be found where he does not want you to be, or come short of doing his will? Do you? Does he excite your spirit so that you're willing to both live and die for him? Have you counted all but lost for him? Have you forsaken all to follow him? Have you refused to put anything before him? Have you? Have you seen enough of Jesus to rivet your attention upon him? Or are you easily distracted from him? Have you seen him for what he really is? Wonderful! Those are things I want to move you to consider. Ponder the effect Jesus had on those who saw and heard him when he walked among men, going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Here's how they responded to him whose name is Wonderful. Matthew 15:31 says, "The multitude wondered when they saw what Jesus did." When his disciples saw him calm a storm, Mark 6:51 says, "They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." When the people heard him speak, Luke 4:22 says, "And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth." When the people saw him work, Luke 9:43 says, "They were all amazed at the mighty power of God." The Gospels record such responses as, "They were all amazed," Mark 1:27. "They were all amazed, sore amazed," Mark 6:51. "They were greatly amazed," Mark 9:15. "They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth," Luke 4:22. "And they marveled and glorified God," Matthew 9:8. See, his name is Wonderful. Listen to what his disciples said about him. "Lo, we've left all and followed thee," Mark 10:28. "I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death," Luke 22:33. "Let us go that we may die with him," John 11:16. When the multitudes left Jesus, he asked his disciples, "Will ye also go away?" They replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life," John 6:68. Why did they speak in this way? It was because Jesus' name is Wonderful. That's what he is. Ponder what demons said to Jesus. In Mark 1:24, an unclean spirit that possessed a man in a synagogue visited by Jesus said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Mark 1:24. A legion of demons dominated a man in Gadara said to Jesus, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Mark 8:29. Mark 3:11 says of unclean spirits, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." Why did these demons speak in such a manner? Why did they all instantly obey Jesus? Why did none of them ever attack him or criticize him or argue with him? It's because his name is Wonderful, and they saw this aspect of his nature. Consider how people came to Jesus, boldly asking him to bless them. Matthew 19:13 says, "There were some who brought him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray." In Mark 9:22, the father of a child who had been grievously oppressed by a demon cried out to Jesus, "Have compassion on us and help us." Jairus, the ruler of a synagogue, came to Jesus and said, "My daughter's now even dead, but come and lay your hand upon her and she shall live." Matthew 9:18. A woman of Canaan, a Gentile, came to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." Matthew 15:22. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the road and begging, heard that Jesus was passing by and cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Mark 10:47. 10 lepers saw Jesus and lifted up their voice and cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Luke 17:13. Why did these people react in such a way when they saw Jesus? What moved them to think that he could satisfactorily address their situations? It was because his name is Wonderful. That's what he is. When they saw him, faith and hope were spawned in their souls. Suddenly their situation was no longer hopeless and mercy was within their grasp. See, his name really is Wonderful. When men see him as he really is, they are willing to follow him. They desire his mercy. They covet his blessing. His name is Wonderful. But let me get to the implications of the marvelous reality of Jesus being called Wonderful. It's only when Jesus is not seen that men do not speak of him. What can we say of those who profess to be religious leaders yet do not deliver the truth about the Lord Jesus? What of those who profess to be followers of Jesus yet bring a message that focuses on other things? Perhaps it's a religious institution or a particular religious enterprise or the family or the starving peoples of the world. Why do they speak more of those things than of Jesus? Why? How is it possible for people to attend church gatherings year after year and hear precious little about the wonder of Jesus? Why do they remain ignorant of what was accomplished in his death? Why do preachers and teachers fail to declare the intercessory and mediatorial work of Jesus? Why is the blessed hope of Christ's return not chronicled with power and fervency? Why? Why is the power of his resurrection not shouted with insight? Why are men not hearing more about the destruction of the devil, the plundering of principalities and powers, the ending of the law as a means of righteousness, and access to God with confidence? Why are professing Christians ignorant concerning the cleansing of the conscience, the full assurance of hope, and the full assurance of faith? Why is the kingdom of God not being proclaimed and the reigning Christ declared with faith-begetting power? Why, with the plethora of Bibles and different translations and ready access to the Word of God, is scriptural illiteracy at such a high level? Why is there so much divorce and various forms of immorality within the church itself? Why is there such a thing as religious charlatans who, like the scribes and Pharisees, rob widows' houses? Why do multitudes fall away, go astray, and older people remain lukewarm and indifferent? What is the reason for these conditions? I will tell you why. It is because Jesus has not been seen. His name is wonderful, but men have not seen it. Their religion is pretentious and fraudulent. That is why they're not willing to leave the world in favor of embracing Jesus. They do not see him as wonderful. He's not captured their attention. That's why they're lured into other things, snared by the devil, and caused to fall into all kinds of iniquity. When men are not fervent for Jesus, it is because at the very best they have a distorted view of him. When they neglect the Word of God, it's because they're not convinced that the words of Jesus are in fact spirit and life, as declared in John 6:63. When they forsake the assembling of themselves together, it's because they do not really believe he's among those who gather in his name. They do not inconvenience themselves for Jesus because they're ignorant of him. And they are ignorant of him because they are not interested in him. Listener, there's really no way to sugarcoat this, and it would be grievous sin against the Lord Jesus to attempt to do such a thing. If you're a person who has willingly forsaken the things of the world to embrace Jesus, you already know why you've done so. It's because you consider fellowship with Christ and his approval to be worth it all. Like Paul, you're willing to consider all competing interests but loss in order that you might win Christ, as Paul testified in Philippians 3:7-14. Like Moses, you're willing to choose the sufferings of Christ over the riches of Egypt, as affirmed in Hebrews 11:26. You've seen Jesus as wonderful, and it has stirred your spirit and excited your soul. The prospect of receiving what Jesus gives has enthralled you and captured your attention. And why is that? It's because his name is wonderful, and you've seen him to be precisely that. You know that no one has what Jesus has or is willing to give what he gives. His name is wonderful. You know that his salvation is great, his peace dominating, and his grace strengthening. His name is wonderful. But what are those lethargic souls who limp through life without living unto and for Christ? What are those weak and beggarly people who are content to be ignorant of Christ and his word and willing to pursue things that are temporal? What shall we say of them? What shall we say of young people who would rather hear a concert than the preaching of the word? How shall you respond to those who call for brevity at church but length in the theater and sports arena? What are those who think nothing of robbing God of their tithes and offerings, or of living for self instead of for the one who gave himself for them and rose again? What of them? These are the generation who have neither seen nor known the real Jesus. That's who they are. Jesus says of such people, "Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape." John 5:37. He would testify to them, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." John 5:42. See, those traits are the result of not seeing Jesus as he really is, the one whose name is wonderful. Now, there's something to think about.